Covering your face with nude tights, like when you're going to attack people, like, is that really going to...
So stupid, yeah.
They couldn't find, like, black tights or anything, or, like, anything darker to cover their faces.
Or just a Halloween mask. It's
right,
Halloween.
It's Halloween.
They'd seen Manhunter, and they were like, oh, I'm going to put...
They said this is going to do the trick.
And yeah. It is the 80s, so that movie would have been coming out right around that time.
It's true.
True. Also, the therapist... When she first tries hypnotherapy and it goes poorly, she's like, let's do the more of this. Feels wrong.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that stands out to me as something bad.
I met a new friend.
Real or imaginary?
Imaginary.
A young man has come to the end of an era.
We are losing these kids.
Now, the only way to save what he loves...
Time is running out!
...is to follow what he fears.
Come closer.
Donnie!
We're just gonna stop.
You should already know that.
Donnie Darko. Rated R.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I'm Justin.
And we have...
Full Justin, house today.
Full house. We have two guests. Who do we have? Go. Fight for it. See who says
Amelia.
Something first. Amelia.
Tyler.
Amelia and Tyler, two people we have had on before. And you guys both independently were like... I really want to talk about Donnie Darko. And Justin and I were like, yeah, let's all talk about Donnie Darko.
Let's all
Darko.
Do it together. Why not?
So
have a big, happy family
excited.
Talking
yeah.
about it.
This podcast cannot escape the death grip of Richard Kelly. He comes up.
He's going to show up no matter what.
He was here for Southland Tales. We couldn't even get through the Holes episode without him making a significant appearance. And here we are talking about Donnie Darko.
You can really see the bones of what Richard Kelly wants to do in Southland Tales in Donnie Darko.
That is
I would agree.
Absolutely.
I would agree.
Did you guys watch Southland Tales?
We did.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. I've heard bad things.
Yeah.
I think there's mixed things about it, depending on who you ask.
I think.
Our friend thinks it's the best movie ever.
Oh, shoot.
Austin Yoder thinks it is the greatest movie ever created.
Whoa.
And I don't agree, but that's okay. Justin agrees.
No, I do not, but I think it was fun having him on because we both
I do too.
Like,
it was a great time.
Yeah.
Also,
but this movie just reminds me of it in some ways.
For sure. Southland Tales, I
Justin.
Definitely. It's
Justin,
not a movie.
Justin.
It's not a movie that I watched and was like, oh, dang, I really regret this. I wish I hadn't watched this. It was a movie that I was like, you know what? Again, I'd rather watch it than The King's Speech. I'd rather rewatch that one than rewatch The King's Speech. All right. So we have...
That's the bar for Nick. Would I rather watch this or The King's Speech? Because it's the most boring movie ever to Nick.
Oh, one best picture. That's why it's like my
Would
example.
You rather watch Eddington or The King's Speech
oh,
again?
That is an obvious choice. Not even close.
Eddington?
Okay. What do you
yeah.
think, Tyler? Were you going to say Eddington?
I haven't even seen King's Speech and I'd rather watch Eddington.
Same.
Okay.
Okay, so we have Amelia and we have Tyler. Justin is wearing his giant creepy bunny suit.
Yes.
Geared up.
That's the creepiest looking bunny I've seen in my life.
Honestly, Justin, if you wore that suit, it would be terrifying because you're just a big man in general.
Huge, yeah.
So you with that suit and the like big ears, like that would be something quite scary. I'll just be honest. Okay, so this is a question that we didn't ask either of our guests the first time they were on, but tell us four things about yourself. Tyler, go.
I am married to Madison, who is certifiably the coolest person you've had on this pod yet. Let me just say, plug for Madison.
She's up there. She's up there.
It's not even close.
Talking to the mic, Tyler.
Like this?
Yeah, I just was not
Tyler, are you using a ThinkPad?
No.
Is that a work computer?
Okay, just... Curious.
What do you have against ThinkPads?
It's a Dell.
Oh, nothing. I don't have anything against ThinkPads.
Sounds like you were
What movie
him.
Did we just watch that had a
Eddington.
ThinkPad? Oh, yeah,
Eddington
that's right.
has a ThinkPad jump scare.
I recently got the Criterion Collection of Ingmar Bergman's films, working through those chronologically.
Oh, we've got someone with bona fides here, Justin.
All right.
Taste.
I just
Feminist.
Got my fourth tattoo.
Feminist.
Wait, what's your thing? Your tattoo?
Oh, I got my fourth tattoo, yeah, on my thigh.
Yes, you're wearing pants, so I'm unfortunately wearing pants. We can't see it.
Yep.
It is very cool, though. What is it, Tyler? Describe it.
It's like the Nordic Tree of Life.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
There's a snake on it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
You said it hurt.
It hurt like a bitch. It hurt
especially
really bad.
Especially when it was near the taintal region.
No, that actually didn't hurt as bad.
Oh, never mind.
It was comforting
yeah.
when he was right there.
Shout out to Evan, tattoo artist, has tattooed me and Tyler.
Evan Rice.
He's amazing. Get a tattoo from him.
My last one is I've met Vivek Ramaswamy, if you are unfortunate enough to remember that fucker. We actually booed him out of the... We actually booed him out of the park in Chicago. It was awesome.
Give us the context, Tyler.
I was in Chicago for the DNC protest a year or two ago.
About what?
Protesting the Democrats' policy towards Gaza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that little scrawny wiener showed up, and he was trying to, like, debate people. And we all just said,
who?
Screw you, racist, boo, fascist, and... Vivek Ramaswamy. And we booed him out of the park. It was awesome.
those are great. Amelia, what about you?
You can't just do this off the spot. I need to come up with four good things.
Amelia, you have so many good things about yourself.
Okay.
Actually, they don't even have to be good. You can say bad things.
Terrible.
They can be awful things.
My deepest secrets.
Yeah.
I'm a librarian.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Nick
super cool.
Is my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anymore.
We'll cut out the pauses. Just okay. Kidding. We'll triple them.
Oh, she's being so awkward.
I love Survivor and Jeff Probst, which just premiered last week.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
I'm excited.
Isn't there a guy called, like, Rizgod?
Rizzo? Yes. He called himself the Riz God. TBD, we'll see if it's true.
We'll see if it's true.
And then one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cat.
And what's your cat's name?
Phoebe.
Phoebe's cute. I love Phoebe.
Yes.
She's amazing. Okay. Well, a little bit of context here. So released in January 2001. I think it premiered in January, but then was actual wide release in October. Nothing crazy happening in 2001 in America. Directed by Richard Kelly. Starring, we have Jake Gyllenhaal as Donnie Darko, Jenna Malone as Gretchen Ross, Mary McDonnell as Rose Darko, mom, Holmes Osborne, which is an amazing name, as Eddie Darko, his dad, Maggie Gyllenhaal, his actual sister, as Elizabeth Darko, James Duvall as Frank, Patrick Swayze as Jim Cunningham, the self-help guru, Drew Barrymore, Karen Pomeroy, the English teacher, and Beth Grant as Kitty Farmer, which is also a really great name. She's the gym teacher who's the ardent Cunningham supporter. And Catherine Ross as Dr. Lillian Thurman, his therapist. We missing anybody here?
Noah Weil.
Oh, yes, as the science teacher.
Yes, and he is awesome. I love him.
What else is he in that you've seen?
ER and The Pit.
Oh, nice.
Okay, very cool.
He's a doctor.
Big doctor guy.
Box office, the budget was $6 million. Any guesses on how much it made worldwide gross?
I know this answer, so I'm not going to answer.
All right, how much did it make?
It's like $500,000, right? In the theaters?
Compared to budget, yes. It made $7.4 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like the, yes. So it was a flop financially, but then it had a big second life on like DVD and things like that. Kind of like Dazed and Confused, actually. Dazed and Confused did not make a lot of money and then really popped off once it was on home video. So to start, when, where, how many times did you all see this movie? Amelia, let's start with you.
Okay, so I watched it first in 2021 during J-term.
Okay.
Good memes. and I've seen it 6 times, including this week. So.
6 times?
Not
That's
as
a lot
many
of times.
As a social network, but.
Yeah. Dang.
Not one even of, close, but still a lot of times.
Not even halfway.
Yeah, not even halfway.
But still many times.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool. Justin?
I've seen it twice. I saw it once with you like 4 years ago, Nick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And haven't seen it since. I've forgotten all about it. And then I rewatched it this morning.
Nice. Tyler.
Watched it in college, I think with you, Nick.
I think we watched it together in college.
I watched earlier this year, and this is when I texted you, we have to talk about this movie. Mm. And then I watched it 2 days ago. Although, my damn Blu-ray didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I had watched it on Hulu like a streaming hobo.
My DVD wasn't working either.
Dude, so I looked this up. It's a thing. The Blu-rays and DVDs for Donnie Darko are known for having issues and stuttering and just not working. Like, my Blu-ray player was literally like, it's invalid.
I couldn't even press play.
Yeah.
Dang. That sucks. Yeah, I've seen it 3 to 5 times. I've seen it at least once in college, maybe more. And then I watched it with you, Justin, in October of 2021. Thanks, Letterboxd. And then I watched it this week as well in preparation for the pod. Have any of you seen the director's cut?
No.
I have one time.
Okay. How is it? Better or worse?
I mean, I haven't watched it again, so I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, cool. I was toying with watching the director's cut, and Tyler dissuaded me from watching the director's cut.
Why, have you seen it, Tyler?
No, we'll talk about it.
We'll get into this with Tyler.
Yeah.
Okay, so what feelings, other than entertained, do you feel while watching this movie? Tyler?
All right, I wrote down a couple things. One is just vibing. The soundtrack is amazing.
It's a good soundtrack.
What kind of vibing?
What do you mean, what kind of vibing?
Positive feelings, Nick. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
No, that's good.
Yeah. Like, you have the Echo and the Bunnymen and Tears for Fears and Joy Division. It's incredible.
Mm.
Terrified, but like in a thrilling way. Mm-hmm. Like that sense of doom when Frank, you see him the first time at the golf course. And you're like, the sound of his voice is like in stereo.
Terrifying.
It's
like, terrifying. Wake up.
Yeah. It's amazing. there's like a deep, heavy chest feeling of sadness. Like, especially, oh my God, when Jen Malone's face at the end, like staring at the gurney and everything.
Yearning.
Yeah.
Super longing.
And then two more. One, and I just have to clarify, we'll talk about why I feel this way. I feel seen in this movie, but not in the... I want to be a little white boy superhero.
Well, but that's disconnected. But yes, you do want to be a white boy little superhero.
Oh, yeah, that's a separate dream. Yeah. And then also nostalgia for a couple really stupid early 2000s things in this movie. Like those absolutely ridiculous educational videos with
Oh my gosh.
The little
those make you feel nostalgic?
Yeah, kind of. Like how stupid, like.
I get what you're saying. With the actual TV.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yes, I guess. Jim Cunningham really ruins the nostalgia factor for me.
Yeah. And then like chalkboards.
Mmm. Mm. So good chalkboard movie. Several nice chalkboard shots.
Yep.
Justin?
I felt a little nostalgia as well. It's early 2000s. Any movie that's in this time era, it's instinctual to feel a little nostalgic.
Mm.
And
even though it takes place in the 80s?
Sure. Just looks 2001.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It is a good point, but it looks 2001 in a very real way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
It feels 2001, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost a criticism. It does feel like it's kind of early 2000s. It doesn't feel that 80s, really.
Even if you look at like the haircuts and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't feel very 80s.
No, it doesn't.
I wasn't alive, so...
So okay. you have no knowledge on what happened in the
80s. I'm just going to be a dick this whole time.
Seriously. Tyler says he's vibing, which anyone in the whole world would say, yeah, that's cool, you're vibing with it. Nick's like, what kind of vibing? He's vibing with a fucking movie. Goodness gracious.
Thanks for defending me.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tyler. I also felt impending doom and scared because of Frank, that creepy... freaking rabbit. And the voice. The voice is more terrifying to me than the visual, potentially.
The voice is very scary.
It's very, wake up.
Uh-huh. Wake up.
Wake up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like through a cup or something, like a plastic cup. But yeah, those are some feelings I had.
What about you, Amelia?
I feel like I've gone on a journey every time I watch it, and I think my feelings have drastically changed, specifically before my last viewing, because when I watched it for the first time, I was in my, like, I'm going to be pretentious about every movie I watch, and this movie actually makes complete sense, and I'll explain it to you, and sit down while I tell you everything and how it all connects, but I've completely abandoned that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
I've turned around. I'm on a new path. So
you're not in college anymore.
Steps towards recovery.
Exactly.
It's I'm not you where found I was.
You found Donnie.
Well, I found Donnie. But for okay, so I have maintained some feelings that I felt when I first watched it, like love for young Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yes.
I love him.
I love him too.
I would have loved him in high school. So I maintain that, and I love watching him in this movie. But, yeah, when I first watched it, it was like, I love this. Oh, I'm so cool in film bro me watching this right now. But now, like, the last time I watched it, I, like, almost cried. I feel like it's so sad. And I think actually working with high schoolers has made me view it a little bit differently, too, or feel the emotions, like, more strongly. Yeah, so I think mostly, like, sadness, but also, like, so much, like love for this the kids and just, like, ugh, yeah. I want you to turn out well. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. I felt confused plot-wise at some moments. I felt seen in some ways in the way of, like, particularly the way that he relates to adults when he's in high school. I'm like,
yeah. Totally.
I see. Yep, I feel that. And then mildly deflated, not very deflated, just a little. Like, I liked it less than I did years ago, like the first one or two times that I watched it. Yeah, but I liked it quite a bit. So jumping right into it, what's true to you about this movie? What resonates with you? Anyone can jump in on this one.
I'm not
Amelia,
going first.
You have a face. Go.
I don't want to go first.
It was funny because Tyler said, I think I'm going to have Amelia just do most of the talking because I really don't have that much to say. And then I talked to him the other day and he's like, I have 4 pages of single space notes. And I was like, interesting.
One and
you
a half.
Actually say that? You don't have that much to say, Tyler?
Well, when I saw it the first time, I was like, I don't know if I have much to say. And then this time, because I was taking notes, I was like, oh my God, I have way too much to say.
Okay, I'll start with one thing.
Yeah.
A lot of things that are, I just like the way, like, the kids act. It's so, like, true. I mean, Jake is young when he's in the movie, but all of them, I feel like, act like high schoolers. Or, like, especially when he calls his mom, like, a bitch and she walks away. And then he's, like, waiting to see if she's going to come back and get mad at him.
Yeah.
Like, just those little moments was just like, oh, my gosh.
That's true. Yeah.
So it just felt so real. The high school. Maybe not the cocaine in the hallways, at least not my experience, but...
Yeah, that's insane.
In the hallways, yeah. I was like, whoa, that's wild.
Very bold.
You're quite bold. Now, a lot of these high schoolers are bold. He
True.
Has a switchblade on him in the bathroom. Like, what, you're going to kill him in the bathroom?
Yeah, for
like,
real.
What?
That's crazy.
At your, like, fancy private school? Like, what is happening? I said just because you realize the world around you is stupid and the adults in your life are saying stupid things doesn't mean your pointing out that it's stupid is adding anything of value for anyone. Like,
shoot.
Red
Donnie for filth.
No, because I think this goes to me feeling seen with this movie. I think I went through about 2 years of high school where I was like, I had a lot of questions about a lot of things, some of it about, like, my religious upbringing, some of it about politics and society, some of it just about life in general. And I think I was like, people are stupid. Adults are dumb and this is stupid. But I had no sort of like here would be a good idea or here would be this. It's just like, this is all stupid. This is all dumb. And I don't know. That really connected with me on this viewing.
Okay, I'll have to go around one or two times. Okay, so one of the big things with this movie is, like, this movie to me is read, should be read in, like, a very Lynchian way, not in the way, so I do not love the way that Richard Kelly thinks about this movie. This will be a thread throughout. I think this movie is about a disturbed kid's experience of the world, like, fracturing. Not the world fracturing, but his experience fracturing. So, like, the same thing I said about Mishima, about being, like, a quote-unquote anti-philosophical movie, it portrays, like...
What do you mean by anti-philosophical?
Well, in this sense, it, like, portrays pain and self-destruction turned into, like, cosmic meaning as tragic. Like, Donnie Darko is dealing with a lot. He's schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And it portrays him trying to figure that out and, like, reading so much into the world as tragic, I think. I think Richard Kelly thinks it's heroic, and I don't think it is. I think it's just tragic.
But, so can I summarize your – you think that it is, like, it is accidentally
– yes.
By Richard Kelly's part, portraying this all as tragic and Donnie Darko reading into things in ways that aren't applicable, where even though Richard Kelly's actual intent was like, this is a grand, crazy story.
This is the best example of this to me. I did not notice this the first time. Mm-hmm. So when they're in the theater, which is just the most iconic scene ever.
It's amazing.
And he walks out to go burn the guy's house down. Mm-hmm. They're watching Evil Dead and The Last Temptation. And in the director's commentary, Richard Kelly's like, oh, those are both on purpose, of course. But The Last Temptation was like, yeah. Donnie Darko is a Christ character. He's going to sacrifice himself for everyone in this cosmic way. And by the way, that movie came out the same year that the movie is set. So that was interesting.
But
I think it's an incredible choice because how many of you seen Last Temptation?
No.
Okay.
None of us.
So The Last Temptation of Christ in that movie is to have a normal life. Mm-hmm. So he comes off the cross, has a normal life, has kids, whatever. That's his temptation. And I think Richard Kelly said in the director's commentary that Donnie Darko is sort of being tempted to just live his normal, boring-ass life instead of being this hero. And I actually think it's the opposite way when it's like experienced the way I experience it, which is that he wants to see his life as somehow cosmically meaningful outside of the relationships he has, the situations he's in, and it's the opposite of that Christ character. And I think that is the part where I feel seen in, where it's like, for so long I had to like find all this like faith-related meaning and stuff.
Reading the tea leaves.
Yeah, instead of just being like, I have my wife, I have my friends, I have my job, I have my hobbies, you know what I mean?
Anyway. Embodied rather than just like a weird abstract transcendent thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One thing that I think stood out was true was that people who look like they have everything buttoned up and all put together is that they might have some skeletons in their closets and shouldn't trust them too much. Mm-hmm. Specifically talking about Mr. Jim Cunningham.
I thought he was a good guy.
Yeah. Seriously. Seems really cool. No, yeah. That just seems like every day that seems more true.
Yeah. Going off of that, like, I think shysters like Jim Cunningham always have a little bit of truth in what they're saying.
Yeah.
I.e. the fear love thing. It's a legitimate question you can ask about some things in life and can actually be helpful. And it reminded me, Justin, do you remember the other movie that we covered where are you acting in fear, are you acting in love is said?
Do the right thing.
Do you know Tick, Tick, Boom?
Yep, Tick, Tick, Boom. In Tick, Tick, Boom, he's like, are you acting in fear or acting in love? There's actually something in that.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Night of the Hunter with like the love-hate thing where it's like, okay, there's something here.
Right.
But like for you to just transpose this on every single thing and be like, well, this is my formula for having a successful life is like the dumbest thing.
Just watch Inside Out. That's what they need to do.
Right. Well, and on that too, like authority figures in this movie are portrayed as incompetent with the FAA. You've got the principal who's making the kids write, they made me do it on the chalkboard. Totally incompetent. And then evil with Jim Cunningham. But like really, authority figures are portrayed as like totally irrelevant, but also completely intrusive. They're up in his fucking business and they won't leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it captures that feeling, which you were talking about earlier, Amelia, in high school that we all have, which I think can bleed into adulthood, which is politically relevant right now, I think. And yeah, like his therapist says, his increased detachment from reality seems to stem from his inability to cope with the forces in the world that he perceives to be threatening. And so the last thing I'll say on that is like one of my favorite philosophers ever, Richard Rorty, says that like the perennial temptation of philosophy has been to escape one's time and place by making your personal story everyone's story rather than just seeing how it is that your story lines up with everyone else's stories. And that's what I think. It's not even a criticism of Donnie Darko, but like the kid, but like that's what he's doing. He's just trying to like make sense of things and he's like seeing a bunch of crazy shit because he's schizophrenic. And so, yeah. So anyway.
Although I feel like Drew Barrymore's character and then the science teacher, I feel like they're portrayed not in an intrusive way.
That's true. Think. No, that's totally true. Hmm. Yeah, they're like, yeah, they're definitely sympathetic to him. So yeah, it isn't like all authority figures.
She's pretty realistic when she goes outside of school and screams.
She feels, very realistic.
I felt that.
Although she is kind of freaking creepy in the part of the movie.
She's not a great teacher.
Do we think she's a good teacher?
No.
I feel like she's not a bad teacher. I mean, she's standing up against book bans, so
that. Something Amelia wouldn't care
about.
But
I definitely had high school teachers who were like, I'm going to sit you next to who I think you should be with.
Dude.
Which I guess maybe they were bad teachers.
I had a middle school English teacher.
But definitely is a high school teacher thing, I feel like.
Sit by the boy you think is the cutest.
Yeah, that makes me feel uncomfortable, her saying that.
Yeah.
She.
It is weird.
Yeah.
But definitely out there somewhere.
Well, also Kitty, who is super into the book banning thing, her character really stood out to me because it's like, the book banning thing is dumb on its face, but then it's also like the people sometimes who are most concerned about censoring like what a kid reads or whatever are the first people to jump to the defense of someone who there's evidence that they committed horrendous sex crimes.
Yeah,
100%. She won't even say the name of the crime when she goes to the door of What's-Her-Face. She's just like, oh yeah, something about like a like child sex ring. And she's just like, don't say that.
Don't
she's
say
like,
those words.
Clearly, this is a conspiracy to tar the name of a good man. And it's just like, okay.
That was a great impression, actually.
Thanks. It's like you are so concerned about what these kids are reading, but like you are the first to not actually see what's in front of you that's legitimately evil and hurting people. And
I know it's so true. That is definitely a thing I'd written down too. And she is so up in arms about the books, and then that thing happens with Jim Cunningham, and it's like they don't. It doesn't align with what they think, so they have to make a conspiracy to justify whatever's happening.
Totally.
It's like, oh, it's a conspiracy. Dude. No, it's just real. Just
also, like saying the destruction that they do in the short story, which I read the short story, and it's really just that part that they're talking about is like the burning the house down and stuff. And calling that pornography is like, but then also she's like the coach for this young girl's dance team, which
Sparkle
you could
motion.
Also like call out as like a little bit pornographic or creepy.
It's
definitely
not
uncomfy. That dance teams are bad, but like I don't know, there's definitely some out there where you're dressing young girls in weird costumes
and Jim is like
and then Jim's like, great job guys.
Yeah, really weird.
Jim's like, here's what y'all been waiting for. Sparkle motion.
Okay, Jim. Okay, calm down.
Jim,
there.
Calm down, Jim. Yeah. Anything else, you guys?
I think it's just also, I just have to comment one more time. It's so funny that she won't even say the words.
Yes. Yeah. Right. It's
what?
And I really, I think that's really poignant, where it's just like, you won't look at the thing in front of you.
Yes.
And, but you're so concerned about people's personal morals and what they read and then what they, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you
also,
have anything else?
Shout out to good moms out there, because I just love the part, like, how does it feel to have a wacko for a son?
Yeah.
And she's like, it feels wonderful.
I know.
Donnie's
mom,
I think, is my favorite adult in the movie.
She's the best.
She is,
amazing. Mm-hmm. She's within a context that kind of sucks, but she always is just, like, the person who's like, well, I actually do care about you, because and you can see by her actions that she cares about him. And like when she's talking to Kitty, she's always just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the difference between the two is like in school when Donnie Darko is shitting all over her stupid curriculum and she's like, well, you just have to answer the question. Whereas the mom, when she's in she's not in therapy, but she's talking to the therapist and she's like, all right, well, what do we do? Do you know what I mean? Like, she's actually asking the practical questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She seems like the bad guy sometimes because she has to take action and be the adult. But it's like, it's what has to be done. Someone has to do it. And the dad is pretty silent.
The dad's just like, don't vote for Dukakis when you have a family of
Dukakis.
Your own. It's like, when you have a family of your own and half your husband's paycheck is going to...
Tell him, Bush. Yeah.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah, he literally says that to the TV. Tell him, Bush.
Get him. Dukakis.
Dukakis.
I have one more thing, if anyone... Okay, we already kind of talked about this a little bit, but like... this movie makes fun, explicitly makes fun of the nonsensical, like, good versus evil mentality, which I think is right, because you can both reject simplistic rose-colored visions of the world and still have conviction. So, like, when they're watching the stupid video in class, and the teacher, there's, like, a shot of the teacher, like, smiling at it, like, ah, this is the best thing ever. And it's so obviously stupid. That's just perfect. Like, it's they people just ignoring the obvious bullshit of something they agree with. Trump can own the libs, which I can be like, yeah, that can be funny. And also, he uses fascism and hunting down teachers and immigrants and medical professionals.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And unfortunately, it's too true to life that the Christian character in the movie is the leader of the defense fund for the child porn peddler.
Yeah.
So Jim Cunningham's lifeline between love and fear is just as stupid and ridiculous and detached from real life as Donnie's hallucinations, but one has the rule of law. And in the end, it doesn't matter because this kid is hurting. And so it's like, so what you're saying earlier, like, who cares about all this stupid nonsense that all these authority figures are saying?
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it's like, which are the figures that are actually caring for the kid versus just spewing their nonsense?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I think I have one more thing, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's like more, like, stronger for Donnie since he's schizophrenic. But, like, the feeling when he's seeing everyone's, like, paths, like, going out and, like, watching them follow it, and then it's, like, him... This is what I read from it. But, like, he's feeling like, oh, I'm, like, the only one who has to choose these major things. Like, everyone else is just going through it. Like, they have their decisions, and they're confident, and they're following it. And I, like, do I follow this path, or do I do something else? And I just resonated with that.
It's a very strong feeling, I think, in adolescence for a lot of people of just, like, oh, my gosh, everybody everybody else knows what they're doing and has a thing.
Yeah, or, like, doesn't have to see, like... Doesn't have to see what I'm seeing right now with all these paths in front of me. And I'm the only one struggling with this. And
For sure. The fear too kind of connected to that of being left alone. Where he says, like, she told me every living creature dies alone. Which is not even true.
Which is like crazy thing to say to a child.
Yes, right. First of all, crazy thing to say. Secondly, true sometimes. Not, and it depends on what you mean by it, I suppose.
Well, yeah.
But it's also just like this fear of being left alone. And I'm reading a book right now called Our Greatest Gift, and it's by Henry Nouwen, and it's about death and dying. And he talks a lot about, like, he spent a lot of time with people who had AIDS in the 80s and 90s and just, like, sitting with them as they were dying. And he talks a lot about, like, people, like, being near to people when they're in that, like, process and being close to them, because people's great, like, one of people's greatest fears is, like, being alone with no one and completely isolated. And I think that that just really stood out to me this time, too.
Well, kind of an opposite character to mention, but, like, Heidegger has an interesting... Okay.
Tyler's studying philosophy.
All right.
He is wearing a shirt right now that says slutty for philosophy.
No, but legitimately, Heidegger has a really interesting, well, he loves talking about death, but he has a really interesting thing where it's like, we always talk about, like, okay, I don't want to die alone. I'm the only one who gets to experience my death. And he has a interesting way of putting it where he says it's the actual opposite. Everyone else experiences your death. You're the only one who doesn't because you, like...
Like, you're awake.
You're just gone.
Yeah.
And everyone else is, like, sees the narrative continue to unfold. And that's what I thought of when he says, I don't want to be alone. Because it's that. It's like, I'm now left out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
So do you think he gets to see the narrative continue? Is that what this whole movie was? Is him seeing the whole narrative play out after he... Like, if he didn't die?
Yeah. Yes. Because at the... Well... we'll talk about what...
What's not true. I'm going to mention this.
Well, it's like the whole thing is... Almost the whole movie... There's like a tangent universe created. By the way, this is one of my biggest critiques of the movie, of just like, don't make a movie where you have to read about it to understand it. Because the words, I don't even think the words tangent universe are used in the movie. But there's like the primary universe, the tangent universe that for some reason is created at midnight on October 2nd. And then after that is created, from the moment that the clock like strikes that, the whole movie up until the very end is in a tangent universe, which if Donnie doesn't
die,
if Donnie doesn't save it, then it'll collapse in on itself in a black hole and destroy everything. And he has to save it by getting this artifact, which is the jet engine, back up through this like stream, essentially, out of the tangent universe. And Amelia's nodding her head. And if he does that, then the world will be saved. And then there are these like manipulated living, which is every person in the movie, which is there. I'm sure Tyler hates this. Every single person in the movie is there to either advertently or inadvertently push him towards his destiny of getting that thing removed. And then there's manipulated dead, who are people who have died and can be like time travel ghosts. And so Frank is one of them.
Yeah.
And then also his girlfriend is one of them. Even though she dies later, she can move through time. So she's also
Well,
it also just completely, I feel like, crumbles because he's the one sending the jet engine back.
Mm-hmm.
But if he just like didn't, then none of it would have happened, right? Like, yeah. And then the whole universe wouldn't be created. Like, why did it even open? Why did it open in the beginning?
It's unclear. I think
also it's like just Donnie. Yeah. Would this have happened to anyone else? Like, what are the laws here?
Yeah.
And like, by the way, this isn't even a criticism of Richard Kelly, and like, he wanted to make a fun movie. And to be fair to him, like, I think if you watch the director's cut, which I've only seen clips of, so I just know what's in there, it's like, he did try to originally make it more obvious, but I think it's better because they removed it.
There are more pages of like the philosophy of time travel, which I have read online. I'm ashamed to say, but
me too.
This is a safe place.
It's okay.
I really the idea that like the people around you are living dead and like all the
They're
manipulated dead.
I feel like a little freshman boy would walk in and be like, "You're all manipulated dead," and I'm the primary person. It's like, okay. Go to your English class.
Anything not true about this movie? Anything that it puts forth that you're like, I really do not like this?
I just feel uncomfy with the suggestion that Jake Gyllenhaal is an allegory for Jesus. Like, what?
Because he's a Christ figure. He's saving the entire cosmos.
I know, but
which would collapse in the black hole.
Yeah. So like, but he's not Jesus.
True. And then it kind of makes it like, kind of like, are we validating suicide a little bit? Because
that is something that I'm really uncomfy with.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it seems that way in the movie. I've done some reading. And I think it might be, there are a lot of different ways to read it. That's all I will say. But I really don't like it in the way of like, this could be read in this way. And I want to toe the line here because like sometimes people are like, oh, this thing is really irresponsible or whatever. And sometimes it wouldn't be illegitimate for someone to read this movie and like and then Donnie like kills himself. And I'm like, and saves everyone else by doing that, which I don't even think technically with Richard Kelly's thing in the movie is necessarily what happens, but I think it's very on its face kind of what that is, and I think that's crappy.
Yeah, I don't think like as a viewer I would be like, oh, this is telling me to like commit suicide.
Yeah.
It's not like 13 Reasons Why or something
like
that.
It's not something that shows like sorry to cut you off. There are some things that I think are far worse as far as like 13 Reasons Why would be one in the sense of showing means and dramatizing, although this you could argue is dramatizing, but like showing means and like other things that are just like, oh, this is really crappy in the way that it's even done.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's still portrayed in like a very like heartbreaking way, like seeing Donnie, how he's so like happy about it and like smiling and laughing is like, I can't wait like to be like at peace or whatever he says. I wrote it down. But and then like everyone else you still see like so emotionally, like, fatigued, even though, like, now he's, none of this has happened, but they're still, like, carrying the whole weight of everything that's happened, and Donnie, and still, like, remembering him so much. And I think it's way more, like, it's portrayed, like, heavily and, like, sad. I don't think it's really saying it's a good thing, but then it's like Donnie thinks it's a good thing.
But this is the thing, listening to the director's commentary, Kelly wants the ending to be triumphant. And I find the movie ending so powerful because I find it so tragic. Mm-hmm. I think it's way better as a tragedy. Frankly, it's like the Wolf of Wall Street thing, right? Where it's like people, totally different movies. Also,
everything
comes back. Don't like Wolf of Wall Street as much, but like Wolf of Wall Street is one of those movies that most people engaged it, quote unquote, the wrong way. It's a criticism, and yet it's like, how much is this is a celebration?
Sell me this pen.
Yeah, right. I think it's a similar thing where it's like, if you just engage this as a total, like, this guy's the worst, not Donnie Darko, but the Wolf of Wall Street, it's way better than if it's like a celebration.
I would say most people watching that movie interpreted it that way.
As what?
As Leonardo DiCaprio's character is the worst.
Unless you went to the Kelly
School
of Business.
That movie made too much money for that.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people love it. Yes.
I think there are people who did, but I
feel like people watch it and they're like, he kind of sucks, but he got
he
his
gets
bag,
shit done.
And I'm going to be a LinkedIn warrior after watching this movie. Yeah.
Here's what watching this movie taught me about B2B sales.
Exactly.
I know several people who read it that way, and I think that's actually why it made so much
name
money.
Name names, Tyler.
No, we're not going to do that. I've just had several conversations with people who have talked about it like, yeah, he's the worst, but it's just really funny, and it really, and there's like, there's like an obvious, like, this guy's kind of cool.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there's like the Jordan Belfort song, too. Have you guys listened to that?
No.
That song is like super popular.
No, what is that?
It's like just about Jordan Belfort, and he's like...
I know what you're talking about.
Is it a rap?
Yeah. It's like
gosh.
Yeah. You'll just have to listen to it.
Jeez Louise.
I feel like he definitely is praised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't... I mean, this is not a Wolf of Wall Street podcast.
Right.
No,
but
no.
It also doesn't help that they had him. This is like the biggest mistake,
dude,
in my opinion, that Scorsese has made in his whole fucking career is the
putting
fact that
him in the end of the movie in a cameo.
Correct.
Yeah, that actually makes, I really hate that. Okay, we're moving on.
Drew Barrymore packing her American flag with her as she's leaving the school, like packing up her classroom. Why is she taking that with her? I feel like she wouldn't be bringing the American flag home and being like, I need this with me.
She's probably going to burn it in protest.
True, she could be doing that.
At a congressional book ban.
Yeah, yeah, true. I feel like Donnie is a bad boyfriend.
He's not great.
Interesting.
He's a bad boyfriend.
I feel like he is.
What's the case?
He leaves her in the theater the whole time, the whole movie. Also, he's doing bad things.
Well, he's trying to expose Jim Cunningham. That's why
he
leaves.
He doesn't even know, though. He doesn't know why he's doing it.
Right.
And I mean, he's struggling.
Yeah, you're so sympathetic towards him.
I have
him,
faith for him.
Yeah.
Justin's like, you're so sympathetic towards him, but then when he treats his girlfriend like trash, you're all like, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Why doesn't he treat his girlfriend better? No, he probably is... not the best boyfriend, but I just think they're cute together.
They're cute together.
They're kind of cute
that
together.
That kiss was like actually a really good kiss. No, it's not a good reason to stay together. I agree.
Yeah.
Don't
good
paint
point.
Me as a bad person, Amelia.
The Evil Dead having an empty theater, I feel like, was sad to me.
Yeah.
Is that, I feel like that's not true.
Yeah.
I feel like there'd be some more people in there.
Especially at a near Halloween showing.
Right.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I just... read someone have that exact take.
Really?
And I do not remember where that was from. I'm sure it was Letterboxd.
Well,
anyway.
I love that movie, so it was sad.
It is sad.
Empty.
Also,
you like Evil Dead?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Have you seen Evil Dead 2?
Yeah.
Which one do you like more?
The first one.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you feel that way, because a lot of people like the second one a lot more, and I like the first one a lot more.
This isn't an Evil Dead podcast.
Yes, it is. Shut up. All right, now moving on to Last Temptation of Christ.
Yes.
All right, Amelia, what else did you have?
I think that was it.
Nice.
I think that's all.
Wait, so is this only case for being a bad boyfriend that he leaves her at the movie theater?
I guess. Well, maybe I'm also, wrong. I mean, but I feel like he would be a bad boyfriend.
No, he probably would.
He doesn't ask
he
her many.
He needs to get help before he. Yes, he needs he to does. Love himself before he can love yes. others.
He doesn't really ask her any questions about herself. A True. Little bit at the beginning.
He doesn't even ask her what her real name is.
No, he doesn't.
He stands up
that
for her from those creepy guys.
Also, oh, what's
those,
true
those
about
those guys? Yes. Were like, yes. I like your boobs.
Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Seth Rogen.
That's true. Seth Rogen's first movie, he and his first line being, "I like your boobs."
I like your boobs.
And his friend, who's just like, when they do the little baby, like glasses thing, his friend is just like, "What if you put pictures of, like, Satan in it and stuff?" And
yeah.
He's like, "Is that what you want to do
yeah,
for your
baby?
Is that
what you want to show your child?"
Yeah.
That baby drawing was terrifying.
It's terrifying. Yeah. It's actually one of the most unsettling images in the movie. Yeah, I would agree, actually. Because Frank I look at and I'm like, oh, you're kind of cool. But yeah. I see that baby thing and I'm like, oh. Also, what a weird idea. That's
like,
a terrible
have they read,
idea.
Did they read
face.
Brave New World? That's what they do in there. They show the babies. Or they play have. Information to the babies while they're sleeping.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
But it's probably banned at their school. So.
Deep cut.
Yeah. Anything else? Not true.
Ripley reaction?
Oh, yes. Ripley reaction. He was semi-interested in this movie. The thunder at the very beginning, he was very into that. Dog barking, birds chirping. Had a lot of, like, nature, natural elements that really brought the pug. It brought his. It brought
awakened
his.
Him.
It awakened his wolf instincts.
It was untaming him.
It was untaming him, making him feral.
It made the yeast rise inside of him.
Oh, fun fact: Ripley has had a yeast infection before. In his ears.
That's not surprising.
And Nick, to get better, he had to lick his ears.
No,
to make it
I did not lick. No.
Nick had to get the yeast out of him.
He had to lick it out.
He had to put him in the oven and let it rise.
Yeah.
Which character is the best hang? Which is the worst hang?
All right, there's a correct
the
answer
best hang?
Here. For the
I
record.
Definitely agree for the best hang. Who is it?
It's Tyler? The dad.
What, Tyler?
For best hang?
That is absolutely right.
No, it's not.
When the principal tells his parents that he told his teacher to shove the lifeline up her ass, he laughs.
Yeah,
that is true.
And when he says, when his daughter's like, "What's a fuck ass?" He thinks he laughs.
I feel like Maggie Gyllenhaal would be a great hang.
I agree.
Ooh, okay. Wait,
I
why?
I just love Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Because she's a lib. She's cool.
Yeah.
And she's throwing fun parties.
She is.
That's a good point.
Okay.
She's going fun on parties. That's
I feel like she like there's nothing wrong with her.
Hey, she's going to Harvard. She
she's
might get
going to,
Harvard.
She's
she
smart.
Might get to know
Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go to the cleaners, maybe.
Exactly. She has some Prada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin.
Maggie or like Elizabeth Darko's up there for me. Hmm. And, you know, as sucky of a teacher she seems, Karen might be a fun hang.
This?
I
which one's
disagree,
Karen?
Disagree, actually. This I don't think she'd be fun to hang out with at all, but that's me.
Which
I,
one's Karen?
That's Drew Barrymore.
Well, Justin just had that fantasy. That's what's happening.
No. Come on, get out of here.
I feel like she'd be interesting, but then, like, a little creepy. Like,
sure.
You're sitting with her, and she's like,
well, I think she
might be uncomfortable.
I think she would
puts
have
her glasses on in a really weird way. She's like,
totally.
It would scare me.
I think she would be totally uninterested in you, which I guess if you like that, some people do. I also feel like she'd be like, cellar door is the most beautiful word.
That was the stupidest thing to me.
Like, okay.
That's not
true.
Well,
that was the name of my column on the Echo at Taylor University.
That's
so
amazing.
That's
amazing.
That's
I love
so cool.
That.
That's incredible.
I said Donnie's mom. She's the best because she is in stupid contexts, but she does her best where she is and also, like, is one of the few she actually cares about him, actually is not just trying to, like, sway him in a manipulative way. She just wants her son to be mentally healthy and just healthy in general. And like some of the BS around her, she just like shakes her head at and moves on.
Yeah.
She's like, this is stupid.
I don't think that makes her a good hang though.
She'd be a good mentor.
Ooh.
I think she's a good hang because she's the mom. She's a nurturing mom. She's like a
who wants to hang out with a nurturing mom?
Yeah, exactly.
I do. I love my mom.
I
she's
go to
nurturing.
Chili's with her.
Yeah,
What'd yes. you say?
Yeah, I'd go to Chili's.
I'd go to Chili's with her, and I'd ask her to tell me stories about her growing up. What about worst hang? Who's the worst hang? I mean,
at a certain age.
This is like, Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
At any age, actually.
That's true. Swayze. Patrick Swayze in real life.
Jim Cunningham.
Jim Cunningham.
Also, he's probably the worst thing. I also said Kitty. I mean, I...
Yeah.
She makes me feel uptight when I see her. Like, her stress that she carries around, the aura of just uptightness just makes me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah. She'd be annoying.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, I think you could have some fun conversations with also... I'm going backwards, sorry. Professor Kenneth Monatoff.
Which one's that?
That's the guy he has the time travel discussions with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But sure, then he's sorry, a chill. Worse.
Yeah, he seems chill.
Then he's like, I'm going to get fired.
I'm
you didn't like him?
I don't know. I think he thinks he's pretty cool.
No, well.
But
yeah,
then
maybe.
He's like, we can't have this discussion anymore. He knows
right.
his limits.
He does.
Let me just say, yeah. Every professor or teacher that has ever been that way with me, I'm like, you fucking rock.
Yeah.
Because they actually like. Like, even if it's kind
he
of dumb.
He humors him, even though
yeah,
Johnny Darko
totally.
Is kind of a crazy good boy.
Yep.
That's yeah. a good case.
Yeah. I had professors who I remember things they said, and at first I thought they were, like, affirming me, and now I know they were just listening to me.
They're just listening.
And I'm like, I said some really stupid shit.
Go home to their wives or husbands yeah. and, like, this student today said yeah. the craziest thing to me.
Yeah. Like, okay, I had a teacher who I remember saying something to, and he was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And now I know that he wrote a whole book, like, against what I was saying.
That's
and he didn't
hilarious.
Even say it. That is a good teacher, because he's just affirming yeah. you, you know?
I agree with Nick, though, that Kitty would probably be my worst hang.
Which kid? Oh, Kitty.
Yeah, she yeah. is just, oh, gosh.
Donnie so Darko's bus stop friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they suck.
I feel like they'd be fun.
What?
They are supportive. They're a loyal friend. They're loyal friends. They go with him
yeah,
to
super
the...
Racist.
They're super Robert racist.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That is, okay. No, well.
Amelia's like, can't deny it.
Can't Shoot. Have anything these days.
Can't say anything anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, guys. I have a great fun
Wait, why can't men there? Just oh. be men, though?
You know what? This is
that's
like...
What? Why can't men just be, let them be men?
Show me the men.
Just let me, we're switching the name of the pod to show me the men.
Should I
because
leave?
Because get out of here. Okay, where yeah. are the real men these days? Also, I remember there was a time where men could just be men.
I like that we don't get to hear Seth Rogen's dumb laugh in this movie.
Totally.
Well.
Sorry, Seth.
No, that's okay. I don't like his laugh that much.
No.
It kind of irritates me.
Me too. It seems fake.
That's
exactly how it sounds.
What about any fun facts that you guys
oh,
have
yeah.
about
oh,
this
yeah.
movie?
You go. Well, one of you go.
You guys start.
Okay, two really funny people that I just have to point out that are in this movie for like 2 seconds. Ashley Tisdale.
Yes.
True.
Oh, wait. Where is she?
I clocked her and I was like, that looks like Ashley Tisdale mm-hmm. as a kid. She's in the gym, or like the auditorium when they're doing the whole Jim Cunningham thing, and
oh,
she comes
dope.
On stage. And
that.
Then also in the same scene with her is Jerry Traynor, who is on Drake and Josh and iCarly.
Who is
Crazy
yeah.
Steve?
Play?
Crazy Steve, and then he plays Spencer and iCarly.
Oh!
It's incredible.
He's
I
also
did
on stage.
Not see him either. Justin, you've got that. You're just like, yeah, picking
just
him out.
Just such funny people to be in this movie. Disney and a Nickelodeon star.
Yeah.
I have more TV corner ones. Okay. Well, obviously, Kitty is Dwight's girlfriend / babysitter in The Office. Incredible.
Yes, yeah, so
fun. Another Office one is Linda in the Cunningham video, the one who's, like, talking about how he changed her life, is Kevin's girlfriend in The Office. There's another one.
Oh, wow. Lots of Office girlfriends.
That's so crazy.
And then Trita, who's the girl that they make fun of mm-hmm. at the bus stop, is in Breaking Bad.
What
she's
what?
The she's at the register and she's the one who Jesse bribes with the meth and she's like
oh
I don't do
gosh.
That anymore.
These yeah, are some
that's
deep
crazy.
Cuts.
Yeah.
I
that's
did
awesome.
Not realize a lot of these ones. My fun fact is that This American Life uses the song "The Artifact in the Living" in their show sometimes, just like the part of the score, and it's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah,
this is the part of the show where I bring up This American Life. It happens very often.
I actually don't think I have any fun facts.
What?
I didn't do any research either.
I only have a few
more.
Oh, also Vince Vaughn, I believe, was potentially going to be Donnie Darko himself. And he met Richard Kelly a few times and was like...
He was, like, stuck to the project for a while.
That's pretty wild.
Dude, he was going to be, like, 25.
Yeah, I'm glad he was not Donnie Darko.
I am also very glad.
Or, like, 30 even.
Donnie Darko.
Dang.
Vince Vaughn is a person I don't enjoy watching very much, typically.
Wow, haters, I love him.
Yeah, a couple of things from the director's commentary. So first of all, I found this director's commentary podcast on Spotify, and it's literally just the audio from director's commentaries. So the first one I listened to is the Donnie Darko one, which is so funny. Richard Kelly the entire time is taking the movie so seriously, and he'll like, this is what's happening with the artifact and blah, 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 blah. And Jake Gyllenhaal will just be a little fucking twerp and crack jokes and like... So there's like one time where like Kelly is talking about the time travel and being really, and Jake cuts him off and is like, you know what, I'm doing the Kubrick stare in that scene? It's because I was really hungry and the crew behind the camera was eating pizza. And like, he's like, oh. And then Richard Kelly's like, are you kidding me? Did you just cut me off to tell that story? It was so funny.
Jeez, that's amazing, dude.
Also, okay, you know the Smurf scene when they're...
talking about the Smurfs.
Richard Kelly...
The Smurf
scene. So Richard Kelly said that they wanted to have the kids shooting Smurfs, like literally.
That's crazy.
And then, but like the production team like couldn't find Smurf dolls on, like quick enough for the scene to be shot, so they didn't do it.
There also might be some copyright stuff there.
No, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also, this goes along with your shyster stuff, Nick, that Jake Gyllenhaal is saying at one point that Jim Cunningham thinks what he's saying is true, but he's just telling lies. But that's important to me because he thinks he's telling the truth. Like, he believes what he's saying.
Yes,
he's not trying to intentionally spread things he doesn't believe.
Yeah.
He fully buys into the fear love thing.
He does say you're looking for love in all the wrong places.
And he's looking for it in all the right ones.
Yeah. He's got to figure it out.
I guess he does believe that.
That's pretty messed up.
That is.
Yeah.
It's a random thought.
Well, movie-specific questions. First of all, this is the only one that I have that's like a real like plot-centric one. Who is the guy in the red jumpsuit? Do we know
that's
who
the
that
FAA.
Is actually supposed to be?
The dude who, when they're about to kiss...
In the woods?
Yeah.
Who's smoking?
I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be a member of the FAA.
Oh, why?
And that's supposed to be like one of those like they're tracking like Donnie kind of things.
Oh.
I think I heard them say that on the commentary, but I'm not. I'm like 90% sure.
Cool. Okay. All right. Amelia, you got any questions?
Wait, I haven't found them yet.
No problem. Justin or Tyler?
Where does Jim Cunningham fit on the lifeline between fear and love?
Where would he put himself, or where is he actually?
Where is he actually is what I think.
It's the lifeline wraps around into a circle.
He's living so much in love that he's fear.
That he's fear.
I think he is falling off the spectrum on the fear side, probably. He's a deeply afraid person.
Also,
probably.
Yeah. Would he get, after he was disgraced, a Trump cabinet pick?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
And would he be on Joe Rogan? Yes.
Yes. He's already been on.
He's been on.
Patrick Swayze has been. Yeah. Oh, man.
Amelia, you got any questions?
Which one is Christina Applegate? Do we know who she is?
Oh, I looked her up.
She's,
which one
she's
is
an
she?
Anchorman.
She's,
Oh, I thought she was a student.
No, because when the therapist is talking to him, he's talking about watching a show that she was on.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
That's such a... She's not with Jake Gyllenhaal.
What do we think Gretchen's real name is?
Ooh.
Which one's Gretchen?
His girlfriend.
Okay. Oh, right.
Because she changed her name. What does she look like? She looks like...
She looks really like a Gretchen Ross, to me, honestly.
She does fit Gretchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She does.
She could be... Rory.
Rory, yes.
She could be a Rory.
I can see that.
Are you thinking of Rory Gilmore? Because she kind of has a little
she
bit of visual
Rory.
That's why,
Gilmore
yeah,
vibes,
that's
yeah.
why it popped in my head.
Yeah.
Mm, I like her a lot more than Rory Gilmore.
Yeah, me too. I don't even know if I came up with an answer
Sophie?
To my own question.
Oh,
she could be a Sophie.
I could see her being a Claire.
Would she be a Sophie or a Sophia?
Ooh, Sophie.
Sophia, question. But goes important by Sophie. Question.
So fake Sophie.
Sophie with no E at the end.
I have a question. At the more of just an observation, at the end of the movie, when the jet engine presumably just completely obliterates and vaporizes him, when they bring out the body under the sheets, it's like a full, you can see his feet and like his whole body. I'm like, I feel like if a jet engine fell through your room, it would just be liquid, but I don't know. I was like,
well,
what
the,
is this?
In the director's cut, I think it's a lot more graphic.
Oh.
Well, really?
Yeah, he's like on a stick.
And it shows it?
It shows like some.
Oh, well,
some
that would be the thing. Jesus oh, stuff right there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God. Huh. Does Gretchen remember him? Is she just lying?
No.
That
no,
was one she of my questions, doesn't. Yeah. I no, don't no, think that's... she does, but like, why was what I was going to bring up.
She like, kind of, I feel like there's some insinuating there because she pauses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, maybe she does.
Well, in the reading that yeah. I did.
In the reading.
The,
in the reading I did online on the internet.
The people who are in the tangent universe, when they're brought back to primary universe, they have some residual yeah. memories and things that mm-hmm. they can't really articulate. Mm-hmm. But that
is that why we get deja vu in our lives? Because we've been in a tangent universe?
That's the
oh,
exact reason, scientifically.
That's a huge question.
It's a matrix.
Yeah. I think
it's
a great that's question. Why.
Yes.
Yes. And then... Yeah, yeah, yeah. With that, because Donnie, when he dies from the jet engine and is in his bed, like, sleeping, some people take that as because he's now – because he sent the actual engine back. So now he is in the primary universe again, and he's asleep, and he is, like, dreaming about things that have happened, but he doesn't even – his character there doesn't even know what is about to happen. Which is a take, who knows, kind of who cares, but yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Any other questions we got?
If a kid approaches you and asks you what you know about time travel, are you engaging with this conversation?
Sure. It sounds kind of fun. Can't hurt, right? You don't. Yeah. He doesn't know that he's trying to figure out how to save the world or whatever he's trying to do.
True.
Yeah. It would depend on the kid for sure.
Yeah, if Donnie like, Darko comes up to you, you're kind of like,
You would be asking me this.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. You're here.
I think I'm sending an email to the school counselor.
Yeah. The kid comes up to you and is like, I think I should have been alive during World War II.
Oh, no. Because like the kid comes up to you, he's like, I've been having memories of I'm gonna stop myself right there.
I remember when I was in the Second World War. I have memories of that. It's incredible.
I feel like my name is Ulysses. And sometimes when I look in the mirror I see this man with a big beard. All right, we're moving on. Okay.
Wait, I have more questions.
Oh, yes.
Does anyone
yes.
else have
no.
more questions?
No.
Okay. I have no more.
Roberta Sparrow was a nun previously.
Yep.
What do we think led her to leaving that lifestyle?
Well,
do we
you
think
guys
she met
first.
Someone?
she met a really hot priest, yeah. And they just could not.
More office crossover. Maybe she met Toby. Because he also left.
He left the priesthood for yeah. that, yeah.
Abandoned the cloth.
Yes.
She, people think that she went through her own sort of Donnie Darko thing in a tangent universe, and that's why she got interested in it, but she made it out alive. And that's why she did that.
It's actually pretty cool.
Who knows if that actually is...
Yeah.
If that actually historically happened, I don't know, but...
Wait, I might have more.
What do you...
Continue.
What do you guys... If someone asks you, what's Donnie Darko about, what are you saying?
A sad boy.
That's a good
and
question.
A bunny.
Mm. A sad boy and a bunny.
Mental health.
Yeah.
Okay.
The struggle.
Yep.
I would say it's about, like, it's about Halloween vibes. Also, great. I love, this is kind of random, I just love the scene. It's one of my favorites in the whole movie when he has the knife and Frank is standing there.
Yeah.
And he's just stabbing the eye on, like, but it's like a mirror gel thing, and it's the coolest. It's so cool.
That scene they talk a lot about, the way they shot it, he has like one of those retractable knives and they filmed it in reverse.
Oh, that's
oh,
cool.
Whoa.
That's
yeah. cool.
That's how they got that to work. And they had
that's
to do a bunch
cool.
of weird mirror trickery to get yeah. it so it looked like it was going
yeah.
Yeah. His youngest sister might be traumatized by hearing him talk to someone in the bathroom. And
yeah.
then he's just like, I'm just taking my medicine.
I mean, between Sparkle Motion and having Donnie Darko as your brother.
Yeah.
Well, they did make a movie about her, S. Darko.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, so yeah. Maybe,
is that the sequel?
He didn't make it, though, because he sold the rights. So someone else
isn't
made
it supposed
it.
To be?
I haven't watched
it's
it.
Supposed
I've
to
heard
shit.
It's trash.
Like, it's supposed to, like, people hate it so, so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Covering your face with nude tights, like when you're going to attack people, like is that really gonna
so stupid? Yeah,
they couldn't find like black tights or anything, or like anything darker to cover their faces,
or just a Halloween mask. It's
right,
Halloween.
It's Halloween.
They'd seen Manhunter and they were like, "Oh, I'm gonna put."
They said this is gonna do the trick,
and it is the '80s, so that movie would have been coming out right around that time.
It's true.
True. Also, the therapist. When she first tries hypnotherapy and it goes poorly, she's like, let's do the more of this. Feels wrong.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that stands out to me as something bad. Those are my questions.
What should you pair this movie with?
Okay, Nightcrawler.
Yeah, ooh, that's a great one.
Gyllenhaal is a psycho.
Jake double feature.
Dark, but only season one because that movie's incredible.
The Netflix show.
Yeah, because that one's another like super dark, super sad time travel nonsense, like media. And then where actually the creator had a vision for it, and the vision, in my opinion, is stupid, and the show is just better than the vision. Yes. I don't think I have anyone else, though, actually.
I said 10 milligrams of escitalopram because that's what I take. I have clinical OCD. Take your medicine. 10 milligrams of escitalopram.
That's a good call. I'd probably get me in the mood for some trick-or-treating. Let's go do that.
Ooh, yeah.
Definitely some Halloween candy.
Yes.
And a blanket. And a comfy couch and like fall decorations
fall vibes.
Around you, maybe a candle.
Ooh, yeah.
Fall vibes for sure.
Okay, real quick, what are like go-to Halloween candies if you're getting a Halloween candy? What do you really like and what would you be disappointed as a kid if you got in a Halloween?
Definitely Reese's, I feel like,
Reese's.
Go-to.
Reese's are amazing.
Or like Nerd Gummy Clusters would be a
really
cool runs one.
Runs in the
Bostic like,
family.
Yeah.
Women are obsessed with Nerd Gummy
They're good. They're good. They're good.
Madison loves that shit.
Hannah loves.
But bad candy?
Mounds.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Almond Joys.
Yeah, Almond Joys. Like,
the little puffy.
Coconuts are not being candy.
The little puffy peanut things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Those
like
styrofoam
peanuts.
Things?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so bad.
Like
not literal
nuts.
Styrofoam peanuts, but like.
No, but like they basically are.
Probably like an apple with a razor blade in it.
Yeah.
Be fast.
Oh, yeah.
Or even just like a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
What? Like, Jolly Ranchers are good.
They're good, but like if I'm trick-or-treating and it's just those.
I have
like,
soured on Jolly Ranchers as I've grown older.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't.
Why?
They just don't do it for me anymore.
No.
Sorry, Justin.
No, don't.
All right. Here's a Hollywood.
Hollywood candy.
Here's a Halloween question, which we can cut. Madison is obsessed with this idea of us doing Tobias and Lindsay from Arrested Development.
Oh, that'd
okay,
be amazing.
Now let me just say, she's like, you can't shave your beard because you would look like a little baby boy, which is true. But it's not, if I paint myself blue and I have the beard,
true.
I think it's going to look stupid.
Yeah,
I have
you, to you have to shave
your
beard.
You do
okay.
have to,
yeah,
you do have to shave.
All right.
Madison, you're wrong.
All right, good. You can keep that if you want. But.
Amazing.
The whole podcast, everything Tyler says, we can cut this, but
you can cut this. Are we ready for quote tennis?
Yes.
So.
Who wants Amelia? You should start.
All right.
And then we'll just go this way.
I'm reading. Get out of my room.
You're not a bitch. You're bitching, but you're not a bitch.
When can I squeeze one out? Not until eighth grade.
It's good shit, huh? It's a fucking cigarette.
I made a new friend. Real or imaginary?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name is Jim Cunningham, and welcome to Controlling Fear.
All right, here we go. Smurfette doesn't fuck. That's bullshit. Smurfette fucks all the other Smurfs. Why do you think Papa Smurf made her? Because all the other Smurfs were getting too horny. No, not Vanity. I heard he was a homosexual. Yeah, well, you know what? Then she fucks while Vanity watches. Okay, well, what about Papa Smurf? I mean, he gets into the action. Well, yeah, what he does, he films it and then later on beats off to the tape.
Such an insane take.
Shortly before that quote, when they're shooting guns, all I need is beer and pussy.
Yeah, true.
Love. Fear.
Fear. So cringy. What are feces? Baby mice?
Aww.
Yes. I'll tell you what he said. He told me to forcibly insert the Lifeline exercise card into my anus.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing that stupid bunny suit? Why are you wearing that stupid man suit?
Wow.
Wow. Deep.
Has anyone ever told you that you're sexy? I like your boobs.
Has anyone ever told you that you're sexy? Wow, still leave, man. Donnie Darko? What the hell kind of name is that? Sounds like a superhero. What makes you think I'm not?
It's good.
Nice.
You're such a fuckass. Did you just call me a fuckass? You can go suck a fuck. Oh, please, Elizabeth. How exactly does one suck a fuck? What's a fuckass?
It's my favorite part of the movie.
I'm out.
Beloved mascot known only as the mongrel.
Okay, yeah. That thing is really terrifying,
yeah,
actually. It looks like if you're looking at like a picture that people were drawing about what they think like biblical times looks like, and they're all bowing down to like some demon god. That is what that thing looks like.
Yeah, gosh, for sure.
That's what's so illogical about being a Smurf. What's the point of living if you don't have a dick?
True.
So real.
I think you're the fucking Antichrist.
Yes. Pop off.
The search for God is absurd. It is if everyone dies alone. I don't want to be alone.
Sometimes I doubt your commitment to sparkle motion.
That was my next one.
I'm out.
Same.
I have one more. I hope that when the world comes to an end, I can breathe a sigh of relief because there will be so much to look forward to.
Mm. I love just that.
Ending on such sad. A sweet note.
I cry.
Anything else you all are enjoying lately? Just in life. It can be life in general. Also, if there's nothing, that's
I'm
okay.
You're
I'm here for
I
you.
I hate my life.
I've been seeing bunny rabbits.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what's the best and worst movie you've seen lately?
Tyler just really wants to talk about One Battle After Another.
I still haven't
Please
seen
don't.
It.
I
it's so good.
It's really, 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 really good. It's the rare movie that's like, this is an event movie. It's like a big deal. And it's amazing.
That's
like
it's that and Barbie, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm 100% serious.
I know you are. I like Barbie.
No, I know.
Worst movie was Oculus. That movie sucked. Anyway.
Wait. Oh, yeah. You watch Oculus?
Yeah.
Justin and I watched that when we
were I watched that movie again, and I remember liking it. And I like that movie.
I also don't like those classic, like, really cheesy, weird kind of horror movies that people like, where you're actually scared, but it's like, what the hell is this plot?
Dude, Tyler, that's my favorite.
Tyler's oh, see, that's not something
I'm, Tyler's an intellectual.
No, shut up,
Tyler's an intellectual. When he watches horror movies? When's Ari Aster movies?
All right.
Ari Aster's catching strays over here.
He is. My worst movie I saw was Splitsville. It was really dumb.
Oh, dang.
What is that one?
I know. You might like it. Who knows? It's the one with Dakota Johnson and I don't really know much
people.
Of the other people. Yeah, but like this guy is, oh no, I forget her name. Anyways, there's another recognizable actress in the movie. This guy's wife is like, I don't want to be with you anymore. So then he goes to his friend's house and he's telling them how his wife is basically dumping him after like 6 months. And then this couple is like, well, we have an open marriage. Like the thing that like is scary for most marriages, if you just do it and you're fine, you agree on it, then it's fine. And so he basically sleeps with Dakota Johnson, and then the husband, like, beats, like, they have a fight because it's like, bro, you slept with my wife, even though they have an open marriage.
Interesting.
And then the whole movie just comes back around to, like, you can be with other people, do these other things, but, like, just be with the person you're with. Like, water the grass where you're at.
And I'm like, no, that
water the grass.
Water the grass. Right. I don't know. It's dumb to me.
Hmm. Unfortunate.
I also just have to say caught stealing because I haven't talked about it on the pod yet, and I absolutely love it.
It's good.
It is amazing. And the worst movie I've seen lately was unfortunately Highest to Lowest. It is a bad movie, and I love Spike Lee. This one was rough. What about
I
you, Amelia?
I haven't watched that many movies recently.
How dare
honestly.
You?
But I saw a lot in August. So if we are willing to go back there. What do you guys think of Weapons? I'm curious.
Oh,
I liked it.
So I loved it. Weapons. It was so good.
What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I don't know. Like, I feel like I was expecting something different, and it wasn't that scary to me.
Wasn't that? Oh, no, there
was pretty unsettling to me.
The moments with the clown face showing up were like,
well, yeah, she
Gladys.
Was weird.
Whenever it popped, like early on in the movie, it flashes to her, and it's like, oh. But that's the scariest thing that happens.
Yeah, the microbangs.
Microbangs.
Very trendy woman. I feel like there was just a lot. It was too long.
Mm.
For me personally, too many perspectives that I didn't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Personally. Mm. But
yeah,
that
would
that was
be
just
tough.
Me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
K-pop Demon Hunters? Anyone?
Heck yeah.
So
K-pop
good.
Demon Hunters on this show.
We should talk about that movie.
Oh my
gosh.
I
loved it. It's awesome.
It's so good. The music, it's so funny. Oh my gosh.
It's beautiful.
The rapping is absolutely stellar.
Yes, rap didn't exist until this movie.
Nope, did not. The hip-hop community owes such a debt.
Pretty much every person I've talked to about this movie besides Nick likes it, so I think he's just wrong.
You didn't like it?
No, I do kind of like it.
What? No, you don't.
You didn't like K-pop Demon Hunters?
No, I did. I did sort of like it, but I've soured on it.
Why?
Well, I think I don't love K-pop music.
You don't have to.
And the animation is really cool.
Yes.
But it also just kind of made me want to watch Spider-Verse.
I feel like the animation was not giving me Spider-Verse vibes at
but
all.
Yeah.
It's definitely
like a
not
distant
the
cousin.
Exact same. It's the same studio, but it's not trying to do the comic book thing.
Yeah.
But it made me just want to watch a animated movie that I really, really love, which is Spider-Verse.
Well, that's so you basically didn't like it.
Fine.
We can have Abby on the show and do another four-person pod and talk about it.
That'd be amazing.
We should.
And Tyler.
She's seen it like four times.
We can just sing
I have not
it.
Seen it.
We can just sing
all
it, yes.
together. That'd be awesome.
Hear our voices.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, anything else?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
This was fun.
Did we know how this to suck really a fuck? Did we figure that out?
Justin, please draw us a diagram.
Tell us how to suck a fuck.
I wouldn't.
Here's Justin, the fuck.
You look. You can probably Google that and find out.
Well,
okay. I'll
send us out,
thing.
Big Bunny.
Big Bad Bunny.
Big Bad Bunny. There's you've heard of Bad Bunny, but Justin's
Big Bunny. Thanks for listening to Show Me the Movies and our discussion on Donnie Darko. Email us with any questions or comments, and remember to follow us on Instagram. We'll see you next time.
I literally don't. I've used all my quotes.
Remember to suck a fuck.
I always remember to.
Oh, my stink stock.
What is it?
Stink sock? What are you saying?
It's like TikTok, but stink stock.
My sticker.
Oh.
It's like instead of TikTok, it's
you can win a junk food
poop.
Duty
I definitely
NFT.
Heard stink.
Where did that come from?
It's fucking to me. I don't
it's pretty
know.
Amazing.